Dharma. What is Dharma? Well, to partially or superficially answer that question, the purpose of life. What is it all about? The question which has been preoccupying and occupying philosophers and theologians and thinkers as long as man can remember. It's also very much on the mind of Guido von Arx. His spiritual name is Gauralila Dasa. He is a devotee in Zurich. Gauralila, for several years, you have worked on this question of Dharma. It's certainly fundamental to Vedic literature, culture, and science. But you have been specialized in a field called Dharma counseling. Dharma counseling will be a separate interview, which we'll focus on at another time. But right now, let's take on that philosophical challenge. It's been written about, there have been movies about it, even humorous ones, Monty Python, The Meaning of Life. From a purely Vedic, spiritual point of view, what is the purpose in life? What is our collective dharma as human beings?
In one sense, very simple, it is to be happy. The question, of course, is how to reach that happiness. And the Vedic direction is to see you as a complete living entity, which means you have a physical element. In that sense, you also have a physical dharma, and you also have a spiritual. Sometimes there can be a coincidence between the two, or can even be a contradiction between the two. Ideally, you can harmonize the two. When we look at the Bhagavad Gita, which is certainly one of the most popular, if not the most popular text in Vedic literature, Krishna first explains to Arjuna about his eternal dharma, which is called the Svadharma or Svarup Dharma. And that is, of course, you're not the body, you're not dying when the body is dead, you're eternal, you're full of knowledge, you're full of bliss, you're part and parcel of God.
That's the soul.
That's the soul.
Yes.
However, when it deals with the challenges you have in this world, with the physical nature, the sense elements of the body, the mental, the emotional side, then the spiritual element may not be of a lot of use to it, because you have to function. You need food, you need shelter, you need clothes, and for that you need money. And in order to get money, you have to work. So knowing that you're spiritual, knowing that you're the soul, but have a body, may not be of much use. That's why Krishna in the Gita talks a lot about this external physical dharma, that we have a nature we are born with. And this you cannot deny. If you want to discuss dharma, what it actually means is that's a certain quality of something you cannot take away from it without losing actually its actual identity. The dharma of sugar is that it's sweet. If you take the sweetness away, there is no more sugar. The dharma of water is that it's liquid. Of course, there is also another form, which is eyes and heart and the more subtle element.
Vapor, steam,
yeah. Like that. But then it's a transformed element. So the dharma of every human being is both. We recognize our spiritual dharma, which is the eternal one, and the physical one, which is according to our nature.
Is there such thing as a good dharma and a bad dharma? Is one type of dharma more important or of higher value than the other?
The eternal one is more important, ultimately. However, now you have to deal with the presence, and the presence is you have a physical body, and you have a mental body, and you have an emotional body, and they have to be taken care of as well.
Could we say that the spiritual dharma is, let's call it the long-term goal, and the other one is more immediate, the practical problems right now? It's winter, it's cold outside, we have to get some heat on. Where are we going to do this? We have to rent an apartment or buy a house or something. These are the real practical matters of everyday living. This is the mundane dharma, if we could call it that, the physical dharma.
That's not a dharma, so to say, if you just maintain yourself. Of course, that has to go on. The question is how you maintain yourself. Whether you do it in a dharmic way or whether you do it in an adharma way. You can, let's say there is cold and it needs heat and it needs special clothes. You can steal the things that's the adharma way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do it according to your nature and you know the legal situation, then of course it's fine. Knowing that it's just a temporary achievement you're going to get, it doesn't help you with the eternal knowledge or the eternal nature of yourself. However, you have to take care of your temporary needs as well.
But in the secular world, in the material, everyday, mundane world, are there other forms of dharma? For example, let's talk about one's so-called professional calling. We've all heard this. A professional talent or leaning or a desire. Children have these desires. We grow up and these desires may change, but we find ourselves wanting to go into law or business or whatever, or medicine. Is this a form of dharma as well?
Yeah, that's the so-called external dharma, or you may also call it the professional dharma, which is part of your nature. Some have difficulties finding that out. They're kind of mixed. They have so many impressions maybe coming from outside people or outside sources, expectations themselves, a little bit bewildered, they're not so clear. Ultimately, it is actually what you really like to do and what you can rather easily do, where you have a natural talent, natural skills for it. However, these also have to be developed. You have to study, you have to perfect those things, but you feel a natural inclination. The problem is just when the mind gets too much disturbed or the emotions are too bewildered by those different expectations. You want to be a superstar or something like that.
Yeah,
you're not
honest
enough, you're maybe not modest enough to just say what you are and that you should do. There is a saying we have here in Switzerland, Schuster, bleib bei deinen Leisten. Maybe you can say, you know, like shoemaker, stay with your shoes. Mm-hmm. You want to translate it in English. So if a shoemaker suddenly wants to be the king or something like that, or wants to be a big superstar on stage, probably will turn out right, unless it's his real nature. He may have been a shoemaker and just because of tradition or circumstances, and one day he may discover that he's actually a person for the stage and can do great things. But he should feel that he's situated rightly, and the people around him should also feel the same thing. It's not that it's kind of an embarrassing situation. This guy's on stage and wants to make a show and it's just like, you know, something stupid.
This is an important point. We talk about the external dharma or the professional dharma as you're describing it. This is, I think, especially interesting in Switzerland, where for many, many years, it's changing a bit now, but for many, many years, young people were sort of forced, often against their real feelings, into a profession because, you mentioned it before, the parents thought it was better or the school thought it was better. I've heard some very cynical things to the effect that even professional career counselors were telling children really what the industry wanted at that moment rather than what was good for them, the individuals. So we have people who maybe have learned a profession or have been forced into a trade or a professional activity they really don't like, and they want to get out of that. Could be, let's say, someone is a shoemaker and really has got the talent of being a great musician. Are you saying that we should follow that desire? If we can play music well and if we have that strong inner desire to follow music, that we should allow ourselves the chance to try. Is that the correct approach?
Yes, you should try, but also judge critically the results. This may be just the ego. You may read some tabloid magazines and see on TV the big stars, the glamour, the money, the respect.
Hey, I want to be John Bon Jovi.
Exactly. And what it takes to get there, you may not be aware of. What qualities you have to bring along, you may not be aware of, but you should give it a serious try.
Mm-hmm.
This ultimately, what counts is your realizations. There may be so many things in your mind, so many theories you can read about or hear opinions by other people, but what you have realized? You've realized when I do that, I feel happy and the result is positive. I can achieve something with that. That's realization. There may be so many people saying, oh no, it's not good and it's too hard. You will never achieve it. It is said that about 80% of the people are not happy with their jobs. And maybe some of these people who were counselors were thinking, well, the most important thing is that they get some money because ultimately it doesn't really matter, which is not true. I think nowadays it changed a bit. People are more aware that unless you're rightly situated, you'll not be happy and you're not productive. And also companies should see that those people who are there, they like working there because it's their nature. And then the money element, of course, became unfortunately a very big thing. Nowadays, everyone seems to just work for money. Because they think when I have money, then I can achieve happiness. Because through money, I can, you know, afford everything I want. Gradually, also some people understand, no, it's not just the money alone. You have to be rightly situated, which is a challenge, which is an art, and which is a big problem. That's why I think sometimes people need professional help or advice, something like that, because on their own they're not able, which is natural. No one should feel ashamed that for certain questions he has, he doesn't have an answer, and he should either approach a professional person or a friend for good advice. So many things we don't know, and friends are there and professional people are there to help.
We understand that we're sticking for the moment with this term, let's call it professional or career dharma. How can we know inside ourselves, how can we dialogue with our inside, with our souls, with the universe, that will tell us what we should be doing in terms of our career or profession or natural talents? Is it possible for people to do this on their own?
It's possible. However, it requires honesty, which is sometimes not so easy, because in your mind you have a certain desires. I want to do something big, unique. I cannot just be ordinary. You know, a salesman or something, you know, a shoemaker or a street
sweeper. I'm too good for that.
Right. And if that element is mixed, then it's very hard to find your own nature, because your mind always blobs you, tells you, you know, you're meant for something bigger. You cannot just be ordinary. If those who remember the film American Beauty, and that young blonde lady had that same difficulty, just the worst thing for her would have been to be ordinary. And if some guy came along and says, even if you tried, you could never be ordinary, then she thought, you know, that's a fulfillment. But everyone is in his or her own way unique.
We have to be aware of the so-called false ego that tries to get us to do things that really are not meant for us. It's for the wrong reasons. I want to be big, rich, famous. I want 4 cars in the garage. I want a bigger swimming pool than my neighbor has. This is the kind of thing which is not going to bring you in the right direction.
No, your dharma will not be revealed if you have that kind of desires or ego. That's obvious.
So how do we then find out what is true, real?
There are 2 ways. One is you can find it out yourself if you're really honest and are serious about that that goal. And some actually have that fortune, that since their childhood, they're so clear, I want to become this. And it, whatever they do and all the experiences they make and maybe study different things, see different things, it's just a reconfirmation, that's my dharma. Others are more bewildered, which is, as I said, the majority of the people are not so clear what they want. Now, when I'm talking about the 2 possibilities, one is with the honesty yourself and the serious desire. As an old song goes, you can get it if you really want. I think the most important 2 words are this really and this wanting. Now, sometimes people are not really wanting their dharma. They just want to have a shortcut, a comfortable life, an easy life, little endeavor and a big profit. That's, of course, it doesn't work. There is no question of glorious victory without hard struggle. Easy come, easy go. Whatever you get easily generally will leave you quickly. So to find out your dharma takes endeavor, takes serious endeavor, and takes honesty. That you can do it yourself. However, if you see you're not getting far with it, then you need the help of others, which is, as I said, is fine. No one should feel ashamed or afraid approaching other people, maybe good friends, maybe parents, maybe brothers or sisters, it doesn't matter. Someone you know, they're honest, they're well-meaning, and they have a little understanding of who you are.
They need
weaknesses.
To know who you really are.
Well, some just have that feeling. It's not just a question of knowing. But of course, it helps if you know the weakness of a person, the strength of a person. Everyone has weaknesses. Even the superstar has lots of weaknesses. However, in some elements, he or she is very strong. Maybe we see only those sides. And to have an objective understanding of one's strengths and weaknesses is very important. Sometimes we have to do some studies ourselves and bring up a list of our strengths and weaknesses, and sometimes it's better to do it through other people. There's a 3rd element. If you're trying to get advice from different people and you might have an idea, of what you should do or what you should become, go in the circle of those people who successfully practice it. The Sanskrit word for that is like the Sangha, having the association of people who kind of live the Dharma, achieve the Dharma. This gives a very positive aura, encouragement. There's so many people who haven't found, didn't find their Dharma. And of course, meeting them may not be very encouraging unless you're yourself very strict and very strong and above all those things. But it's good to seek the association of people who can firmly see they're established in the right Dharma. And they express it. I mean, their aura, their charisma, their nature, their self-esteem, their natural safety, their success tells it all.
I have to take you up on something which frankly surprised me a little bit. And that is, you were saying the importance of, you're talking about the importance of hard work and going after it, and it isn't going to be easy. But on the other hand, we have people who are naturally talented. We have just those people you talk about who felt for many, many years, even as children, teenagers, young people, I'm drawn to this. I feel this calling to that. They can pick up a violin and play it, or they can play the piano, and we say these are child prodigies. We're entering into the field, though, of karma and reincarnation and previous lives. To try to explain more what I'm getting at, if someone is a great rhetoricist, a great speaker, a public speaker, an effective speaker, well, we might safely assume that somewhere in a past life, this has been an accomplished politician or an accomplished speaker or literary capacity. And they've come back and they feel this dharma, this external dharma, this natural talent coming through. The thing that bothers me there, assuming they do follow through and are successful at that particular field of work, whether it be writing or broadcasting or standing on a stage and performing as an actor or actress, that isn't hard work because they have this natural ability. That would seem to contradict at least some of what you said before about it all having to be hard work. Isn't there an exception to that rule in a specific case I'm talking about? No. If it comes naturally to you, it's not hard work. It's like what they say, the easiest thing in the world to say is the truth. The hardest thing is to contrive a lot of lies and tell stories. The truth just flows because by nature it's the truth. You don't have to think about it. Isn't it true also in the perfect world of external dharma?
Sometimes the truth is very difficult to say. Due to circumstances, or the truth may be unpleasant.
And but no it, one it likes still to comes say to it. You. It's the articulation.
It may be there, but
the
I know in my case, I had sometimes it was very hard to say the truth, and then one tries to find different ways of maybe bending it a little bit, but not totally lying it. And those people who may very naturally and very easily in this life be able to perform, you know, their skills in a very great way, in a successful way. For me, it's obvious. Taking the aspect of karma and reincarnation, they did their hard work or their homework, so to say, in a previous life. However, if they become lazy or too self-satisfied, oh, I'm now big, I'm now famous, you see how these super artists, we had some of them who are very, very skilled, they're real genius, but they took it for granted and easy and didn't continue working hard on their further development, maybe on the art side, but maybe also on the human side, hopefully also on the spiritual side. Their ending was tragic.
We see this a lot, especially in show business. We think of the singing world, I think of opera, I think of rock music, popular figures who will go unnamed. We've all heard these stories. This is an example of what you mean. You just take too many things for granted, sitting on your laurels.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we are here in life for two things. One, of course, is to be happy. I mentioned that before. But the other element is to learn. And you never finish learning. Mm-hmm. There's always ways you can improve. And nowadays, even it's not enough if you want to do something big in that, you know, let's say show business world, if you're just skilled. Mm-hmm. Those people are successful. Generally, they have been very much skilled, but also they have been working very hard. Mm-hmm. It's not easy because competition is very big. The technique nowadays, as also has approved a lot, so it's not just good enough to be talented. It's a combination of serious work. And those artists, you can see, they're not just doing it because of fame or because of money, because they're in their nature an artist and are an artist. It means a constant endeavor to improve their art. They're not, you know, repeating themselves. That every new music piece they bring out is it was a new hard work to come to a higher level, and it will never end. But ultimately, and this is also part of our discussion today, it's not just to live out your physical temporary dharma, but actually also to be aware and to develop your spiritual dharma, your eternal dharma.
You've brought us very elegantly to the next point, of course, which is now to concentrate, to shift from the professional, the career dharma, to the spiritual dharma. We're at least two selves. The spiritual, the soul inside this body, the one that doesn't have to make a living, the one that has only to account to God and the universe. How would you define that kind of dharma? What is spiritual dharma?
That's the eternal dharma. That's that kind of dharma which is not depending on the physical, temporary, mundane, secular circumstances. However, I would say for most people, unless they have their external dharma firmly established, it's very difficult to also really develop the spiritual dharma. It may be that you find out everything you try in this world, you're a complete failure. It's just you try it and it turns out bad, and then maybe at one point you can kind of give it up and go in seclusion, become a monk, go in a monastery or something like that. That may be some case, and you just develop on your eternal qualities.
That does exist.
Yeah. But you should be careful that it's not that you're just running away from challenges and difficulties. For most people, I would say it's good to face their mundane dharma as well, fulfill it honestly, but knowing this is not the eternal dharma. The eternal dharma, because that was your question, or the spiritual dharma, is actually what brings you closer to God. What brings you out of these mundane, temporary, dualistic elements.
Would you agree, could I add here, what brings you comfort from the slings and arrows of the secular world?
I wouldn't call it comfort, because then again it can be that you just try to run away from the discomfort or challenges or wounds which this material world can give. And it's a kind of approach which is fair. According to the Bhagavad Gita, there are four kinds of people who are looking for that eternal dharma. One are the frustrated ones. The other is those who really look for material wealth. Some are just curious, what about the spiritual dharma? And some are those who are actually looking for the eternal truth, for the absolute truth. And in the next verse, Krishna, who is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, says, actually the one who's searching for the truth is situated the best. Because if you're just practicing your spiritual dharma out of frustration of your mundane dharma or out of physical difficulties you had to go through, that's okay, but it's not the best approach, the best motivation. If you're interested in the truth, that's what matters. Whether it's comfort or not comfort, that's not the point.
There's a little anecdote that I recall at this moment, Gauralila, about Albert Einstein when he lived in Bern, because he formulated some of his relativity work in Bern. And you know, Bern has the famous bear pit. Maybe some people have seen it. And he used to go down to the bear pit, the Berggrabe, and watch the bears go around, take his friends there. And the anecdote is that most of the bears would walk around with their head down, just looking at the ground in front of them, picking up whatever they may be found. And occasionally one bear would sit up on its hind legs, look up, look at the people watching, and look at the sky, the surroundings, and Einstein would comment, "That bear is thinking." So it reminds me a little bit of what you're saying, the quest. Who am I? What is that spiritual self? What is lacking? What do I have? What do I still need? The kinds of questions which are fair and good questions to ask oneself in an honest quest to identify one's spiritual dharma. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm, fully. Actually, the spiritual dharma, according to the Vedas, is starting where you ask those relevant questions. Who am I? Why am I here for? Where do I come? And where will I go after? Is there something beyond this mundane understanding or physical understanding of the world? And if someone is serious, according to the Vedas, The Lord, who is dwelling in the heart as the super soul, will guide such a serious soul to find the answers. Maybe step by step, it's a constant endeavor to develop, realize, and ultimately relish the spiritual truth, which is not just something you believe or have faith in or some theoretical knowledge, but it's ultimately a question of realization. That is certainly what is meant when you talk about the spiritual dharma of things, that you can realize, okay, I have a physical dharma, I have to take care of that as well, but my understanding and ultimately my realization of the spiritual nature is more important.
Now, this has been very well described by you, but the big question is, how can we cultivate, how can we learn to ask ourselves, to open ourselves for those answers, to ask them, but also to get those answers? How can we do this the best?
It's a desire, and the desire, of course, can be developed through maybe books you read, people you have association with, but ultimately, if that desire is not there, as we say here in Switzerland, you can bring a horse to the water, but it has to drink itself.
Yeah, you can't make it drink.
There is that independence. If that desire is not there, if that's for you not relevant, your spiritual dharma, all you're really caring is that you have enough money and you can have a comfortable life in this physical world, then there is no way you can first force such a person. Mm. We should have the respect. This is a human being, this is soul, that may not be relevant. At one point of my life, this wasn't relevant either. We wish the person the very best. We hope that that person can develop as well. But if that desire is not there, you can't do anything.
But let us assume, for the sake of argument and discussion, we have an individual who says, I really thirst after those answers. I want to cultivate, to develop my spiritual dharma, find out who I am, the answers of why I'm here, who am I, where am I supposed to go, what am I supposed to do to develop spiritually. What advice can you give that very sincere individual?
There are different paths to go on that direction. The main thing is the motivation behind those important questions. If the motivation is pure, you're not doing it out of ego, it's a more subtle ego. I failed as a person in the secular world, now I try to become a big success in the spiritual
now
world.
Now I want to be a guru.
If that demotivation is not there, then probably you'll be not finding the answers. But I have no doubt, I see that not only in my life, but in countless other lives, those who are seriously and honestly looking for the spiritual answers of life, they'll find it in one way or another. The element which is given in the Vedic circumstances, that the Lord sees that and accordingly arranges situations. And people then have the first realization of the Lord saying that it can't be any coincidence, there can't be chance, there can't be an accident, that is purely guided. And
what you would call synchronicity, for example, events
exactly,
which seem like coincidences, but there are no coincidences.
They feel, because they've been serious, the Lord has answered to their call, and they come on one step further to find the answer to those big questions.
I think of something I've heard, a Vedic saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Exactly.
This is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And there we come to Dharma counseling. This is where people like you, Gauralila Dasa, can be helpful. But that's another topic. Thank you.